Truly, I tell you, whatever you did to one of the least of these, you did it to me. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. You may be seated. It was on July 10th in the year of our Lord, 2022, that our dear brother, Nelson Pinder, after 89 years of life on this planet and decades of serving as faithful priest in this diocese and fearless champion of civil rights in the greater Orlando area, went to be in the nearer presence of the Lord. So every year at this time, we pause to give thanks for his life and to honor the God who gave us the gift of his son and of those like Nelson who live so heroically in the wake of Jesus's life. And there is no truth that better captures the life and spirit of Nelson Pinder than what we just read. Truly, I tell you, whatever you did to one of the least of these, you did to me. Nelson had a way of seeing Jesus in everybody and was a walking lesson to all of us who knew him of that. To see Jesus in you. I think that's one of the lessons the Lord has been trying to teach me my whole life. And I confess it's not the easiest thing to get at. It's often not easy to see Jesus in you. Sorry. But he's been teaching me to see Jesus, to see in Jesus more than a man, but God in flesh. He's been teaching me to see in the bread his very flesh given for me, and in the wine his very blood shed for me. He's been teaching me to see in the church's gathering his incarnate life extended into time and space. And he's been teaching me the truth of this keystone to Matthew's gospel and the heartbeat of the life and ministry of Nelson Pinder. In fact, one of Jesus's best teachers about finding Jesus in you has been his servant and friend, Nelson Pinder. Having grown up in Liberty, in the Liberty City neighborhood of Miami, nurtured there in the Episcopal Church, and even playing high school football game up here in the Tangerine Bowl sometime in the late 1940s, Nelson came to Orlando for good in 1959 at the tender age of 27 to be rector of St. John the Baptist Church, which he served till his retirement in 1997. There's an iconic black and white photograph of 27-year-old Nelson walking the streets of Orlando, sunglasses, clergy collar, sport jacket slung over his shoulder. I mean, cool dude, God squad. Schooled in life through military service in Korea, schooled in the civil rights movement in marches, sit-ins, and strikes up north, and schooled in rich worship and theology and liturgy, holy, 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 at Neshota House in Wisconsin. Nelson was here to help Orlandoans get Jesus's vision, to see him, Jesus, in everybody. Nelson's response to getting off the plane in Orlando and trying to hail a cab, only to be told he'd have to wait for a colored cab, and then to be refused service when he tried to order a cup of coffee to pass the time, his response was, I knew this was a great opportunity for me for great missionary work. Missionary work akin to that of other black ministers who were civil rights leaders, Martin Luther King Jr., Andrew Young, Ralph Abernathy, Tom Skinner. And indeed, it was the life work of Orlando's grace-kissed and justice-motivated street priest to flesh out for us the mystery of Jesus's gift and calling in Matthew's magisterial gospel. Matthew's story and Nelson's story is the story of the Bible. On the one hand, the Bible's and Matthew's and Nelson's story is about salvation won for us and given to us, about a word of gospel truth that God loves us and on the cross has done everything that needs to be done for us to be saved. And all we can do is believe and trust. And at the same time, on the other hand, the Bible's and Matthew's and Nelson's story is about a provision of life that takes those who were dead and makes them alive, people who were hungry and fills them, people who had no strength and no nourishment and fills them that they may go and live well. It's a story about believing as though that's all that mattered, and as though heaven and hell were at stake in believing. And it's a story about living as though everything were at stake in living it. And especially through the lens of Matthew's gospel, which so anchored our brother Nelson, it's a story about a great both and. Good news of consolation, good news of transformation. Good news of consolation. Matthew's gospel begins by telling us to acknowledge the poverty and emptiness of the Spirit. Good news of transformation. And Matthew's gospel says, you are a city on a hill for the world to see who God is. Good news of consolation. This is the gospel that says, acknowledge that the world is awful and mourn over it. Blessed are those who mourn. Good news of transformation. This is the gospel that says, do your good works that men may see them and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Good news of consolation. Here Jesus says, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And good news of transformation. Here Jesus says, you must have a righteousness that exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees. Good news of consolation. This is the gospel that says, I will be with you when you pray together, and I will be with you to the end of the world to empower your gospel. And good news of transformation, this is the gospel that says, I will be with you in the hungry, in the thirsty, in the stranger, in the one who has no clothes, in the one who is sick and who is imprisoned. Don't miss me there. One of the things that was remarkable about Nelson Pinder was that when you were in his presence, he made you feel like you were important to him, like he heard you, like he saw you, like he saw Jesus in you. He knew that he was deeply, deeply loved from on high. And so he could take Jesus' words seriously, that when we care about each other, we care about him. So many stories about him are very well known, but they're worth repeating. Nelson Pinder saw Jesus in the kids who weren't allowed to sit at the counter to enjoy a banana split at downtown restaurants in the early 1960s. So he worked with a cadre dubbed Pinder's Kids, many from the Jones High School class of 1962. And he organized peaceful sit-ins, helping them to negotiate how to stand respectfully when the owners, who had been given a heads up what was going on, when the owners would play the Star Spangled Banner so they could, kids would have to stand up and their seats could be taken away. Nelson saw Jesus in black citizens who had to sit in the balcony of the Beecham Theater. And so he organized a boycott. And he raised bail money when it was needed. And he was concerned with the people who couldn't get the seats with everybody else. And he was also concerned with the damage that was being done to the people who set up those barriers. Nelson saw Jesus in the high school girls who weren't allowed on the cheerleading squad of a football team anchored by black players. And he also saw Jesus in those girls' white principal whom he chided into opening the door to them. Nelson saw Jesus in the police chief and the people in the mayor's office and even the merchants he boycotted, to make sure that responses were measured and that in the long run, justice could be won peaceably, and that the whites-only signs would come down with less acrimony and without fires in the streets. Likewise, Jesus calls us to see him in the least likely of faces and to treat them as though they were him, for they are. Somehow, we need to be able to look in each other's eyes and love Jesus there, not somewhere else, not someplace else that would be more convenient or some other time when it might be more convenient, but in one another right now. One of the reasons that we do church is so that we can do it here for the sake of developing that habit of heart, that instinct of the Spirit that lets us see the Jesus that we see in each other here everywhere, in every person. And that's one of the reasons that part of our service always includes the passing of the peace. Back in the 4th century, Cyril, Bishop of Jerusalem, was explaining to a group of people who had just gotten baptized on Easter Sunday. He was teaching them about what had just happened to them and what it meant for their lives. And so he explains to them, on Easter Sunday, you, because of your baptism, you took the body and blood of Jesus Christ into your being for the first time. Now, with his body and blood in you, his life is yours. His blood is flowing through your veins, and you have become Christ bearers. The Greek word is Christopher, which means all of us have a middle name, Christopher, Christ bearer. Congratulations. And then he explains, and so when at communion, the presider says, greet one another with the peace of Christ. We're to see this not as a normal greeting that you might give on the streets, because our lives are now one. And we embrace him when we embrace one another. The kiss of peace is a sign that we see him in one another. You and I have no idea of the way each other comes into this room. We don't know how thirsty or hungry, how lonely, how feeling naked, ashamed, exposed, how sick or weak, or what kind of prison someone might be in. And it becomes an unbelievable privilege to stand in the place of Jesus and say, the Lord be with you. We minister to one another on his behalf, and Jesus in each other gets loved along the way. Maybe even more important than that, Jesus gets acknowledged to be the King that he is. So today, whether it's a familiar custom, which it is to many in the room, or a strange custom, which may be true for others in the room, whether you're okay hugging or kissing, or if you just have to do a fist bump or a chest bump or a handshake or a hand on the shoulder, whatever, when we come to that portion of our service, as we prepare then to come to the table to receive its solace and its strength, its pardon and its renewal, would you take a little more time to wish one another the peace of Christ and look for one another look for Jesus in one another's eyes. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.